And welcome back inside the cave on this Thursday morning. Excuse me, Tuesday morning. Ian Wendt, yours truly, Pat Hayes with you. And as promised, on the other end of our line this morning is Jim Brandstatter, former voice of Michigan Wolverine football. And Jim, welcome inside the cave.
Hey, Pat, it's good to be with you inside the cave at Adrian. And I'm delighted with that. When I was in high school, Adrian was one of our big rivals when I was at East Lansing in the old South Central Conference.
That's exactly right. I was going to talk about that a little bit today. But, yeah, you're no stranger to Adrian and the Adrian Maples.
No, I'm not. We played them every year. They were always a very difficult team to beat, I'm telling you. They had some really, really good players. One of the ones was a great Michigan name in Westfall. Played back when I played. He was the grandson of Harley Westfall or the son of Harley Westfall back in the day.
The son, yep. And, of course, Bob Westfall, he played, back in the day. And that's what we're going to talk about today a little bit, Voices of Michigan Stadium. This is a new book, an audio book that you put out. And from what I understand, there's a lot of great audio in there from some of the big names in Michigan football.
Oh, it really is. We were just talking about history and Adrian, and this history is part of Michigan football. I mean, I've got the guy that scored the first touchdown ever at Michigan Stadium in 1927, Kip Taylor, talking about his experience. And the weird part is I did these interviews over the course of my career at the University of Michigan and was able to interview Mr. Taylor when he was 94 years old, and he had a memory like a steel trap. And I interviewed guys like Bob Chappius and Forrest Evashevsky. I had the opportunity to see these guys. I interviewed them for different projects that I was doing, and next thing you know, when I retired, I found these tapes in my garage, and I said, I've got to utilize these somewhere. And the more I listened to them, the more I realized I had pure Michigan gold out there. And put them together in a book called Voices of Michigan Stadium with the great ones like Bo Schembechler and Desmond Howard and Ron Johnson, Ron Kramer. It's really a great, it was a fun exercise for me that turned into, I think, what's going to be great for Michigan fans.
Well, a great project for you, yeah, Jim. And you have been retired from the booth there at Michigan Stadium. And this is a great transition for you to get started in writing this book.
That is. It's it's like my wife told me when she retired, she said, you don't retire from something, you retire to something. And as I was going through my last year in the booth, I thought, what do I retire to? And I thought, what do I do? What have I got that I can kind of utilize? And I looked back at all the things that I'd done, and I said, let's go look at those things and see how I can, imagineer my way into that stuff. And this was the first project. I'm sure there are others coming down the road, but this was the first one, and it has taken up a lot of my time. But you know what? It's productive time, and it's part of the thing that kind of scratches that creative itch that I have somewhere in my DNA, and I've enjoyed it a lot, and I look forward to continuing.
Well, I heard one of the clips, and it was of Bo Schembechler, a guy that was known for his passion for football and for Michigan, and talking about the 10-10 tie, the famous 10-10 tie, and how he will never get over that.
Well, that's exactly right. And that's the part of, I think, the audiobook that makes it unique, in that you can read what Bo said about this, but when you hear him, you hear the passion, the emotion, the disappointment, and the I want to say how mad he was. It's still 20 years after it happened at this injustice, and that to me is the uniqueness, is the fact that you get to hear all of these players, hear their emotions, hear their passion about Michigan, about Michigan Stadium, about the great plays in Michigan Stadium history, and to hear them talk in their own words, in their own voices, is something you just don't get anywhere. And I'm lucky enough to have had saved these so that I have them, and I can share them with, Michigan football fans.
Morning, Jim. This is Ian. Thanks for coming on. We certainly appreciate it. Doing play-by-play for as long as you did, I think just the normal listener doesn't realize just how close you are to the team. No matter what sport, Could you speak to that? It's not just, hey, you show up and call the game. You know, you're in the locker room. You're talking to coaches and players.
Right. You're right, Ian. You're very close to the team. I mean, you travel with them. When they go on the road, you're on the team plane. And then you get to check into the hotel. You see them at dinner. You see the coaches, you know, out at night when they're putting the kids to bed, doing the bed check stuff. You can go to the Friday afternoon walkthrough practices. You see them during the week when you come over and do interviews. You see them in the locker room after the game. You get to know them a little bit, get to know their parents. And those are the kinds of things that are really unique and great opportunities for play-by-play guys. Like I said, when I was retiring, people said, well, what do you think and what are you going to do? And I said, look, my feeling more than anything is I'm grateful. Grateful that I've had the opportunity to be put in this position and glad that I was able to take advantage of it. Met some wonderful people and really become part of the program. Of course, you know, back in 69 when I was playing, I felt part of the program, and I was so lucky to be a part of that program not for over 50 years. And still feel a bit part of the program just because I have still so many friends that are in the front office that are part of athletics that I've known and dealt with over the years.
Oh, Jim, you were a part of the Michigan team from 68 to 71. Of course, back then, the freshmen weren't allowed to play. And but you were part of two Big Ten championship teams.
Yep.
Two Rose Bowls. You had an overall record for the years that you played, 28-5. And big number 76 was all Big Ten. So you really had a great experience at Michigan.
Oh, there's no question. Had a great experience at Michigan. And, you know, the thing that's funny is we're coming up on this Ohio State game, and the thing that you get asked when you're a Michigan player is, you know, how many Big Ten championships did you win? Did you go to any Rose Bowls? And what was your record against Ohio State? And what was your record against Michigan State? Those are the questions you get asked. And I was 2-1 against Ohio State, 2-1 against Michigan State. And I had a great year. I had a great run. Played with Bo Schembechler. Played with some great players like Dan Dierdorf, Reggie McKenzie, Tommy Darden, Bill Taylor, some of these great players. And like I said, at 17, you're not sure, you know, what the decision that you make to go to a college is, how it's going to play out. Well, I sure got lucky because it was the best decision. One of the best decisions I've ever made in my life was to attend the University of Michigan.
What was it like being from East Lansing and coming to Ann Arbor to play football?
Well, you know, it was mostly a curiosity. People said, what are you doing here? What? Your brother played at Michigan State. Your dad is on the faculty. Well, why are you here? And I just answered the question. I said, well, I didn't want to go there. And I had a better opportunity, and I loved the University of Michigan. I loved the players. I loved the campus. And literally after about a month in Ann Arbor on that freshman team, I was maize and blue with all the rest of the guys on that freshman team. So then it became a non-issue. But that first month, they asked a lot of people asked a lot of questions.
Now, you weren't recruited by Bo. You were recruited by Bump Elliott, as I remember.
I was, and Bump recruited the senior class that Bo Schembechler had in 71. We went 11-0 in the regular season, won our second Big Ten championship. That class was all recruited by Bump Elliott, and he brought in some great players. And Bo would tell you to the day he died, he said when he came in here, the cupboard was not bare. He had a lot of good talent, and that really got him started. And Bump was a gentleman, a great guy, and all of us, literally, that were recruited by Bump. Even though we became great friends and loved Bo Schembechler, all of us have a great deal of respect and love the fact that Bump convinced us to go to Michigan because it changed our lives in a positive way.
So, Jim, with this book, how far back do you go in your journey at Michigan? Do you go all the way back to 68, 69, or where does it pick up?
I go back further than that, Ian.
Okay.
I go back to 1927.
First year.
Yeah. The guy that scored the first touchdown, I interviewed him, and he also, when I had him and I was interviewing Kip Taylor, he also actually had an interaction with Fielding H. Yost. You don't have many people today around, or you don't have anybody on tape that will tell you that they met the man and that they got a lesson from him. Well, Kip Taylor told me a story about being with Fielding H.O.'s on the football field at Ferry Field in old Ann Arbor back in 1927. So that's how far we go back. And I go back to the days of Fritz Kreisler, guys that knew him, guys that played for him. One of the great retired jerseys in Michigan, Al Wister, tells me a story, and you can hear him talk about his days with Fritz Kreisler. And when somebody got hurt on the field, Fritz would walk up and look at him and go, "Move the ball or move the body. We've got practice to do." And so we go back all the way to really the beginnings of the Michigan football tradition, and I take it all the way up to the national championship year in 97 and beyond.
Well, you talked about some of the players that were with you. One of those with a local connection, Jim Lyle, who you played with.
Yes, I did. Jimmy and I were both linemen together, and I just reveled in his great success as a coach. Because he coached at Adrian, he coached at Siena Heights. He's just, first of all, a wonderful guy, one. And two, he was a darn good football player and a great personality. He loved to have fun. He didn't take life too seriously, but he loved football. He loved the lessons it taught people. And Jim was one of my favorite teammates. And I reveled in his success as a football coach. I was so delighted that he chose to go that route and found such great success at it.
Well, the last 8 years of your broadcast career, you were teamed up with All-Pro Dan Dierdorf. I think 8 years you did the broadcast with Dan, and it really culminated probably one of the best situations where Michigan did beat Ohio State. That must have been a great game to call. And then they went down to Indianapolis and beat Iowa and then went on to the championship series.
Yeah, it was, first of all, the Ohio State game was just magical. I mean, and think about this, I mean, Pat, me and both of you, I mean, think about having, you know, we played, Dan and I, in the 1969 upset of Ohio State, which many people feel is one of the watershed games in Michigan football history. It kind of put Bo Schembechler on the map, and it set up the 10-year war. It was a monumental game, a monumental upset, a monumental win for Michigan. And both Dan and I were involved in that game as players. And here we are in 2021, 52 years later, calling a monumental upset and another game that I would say is a monumental game and a watershed game in Michigan football history. And it just doesn't happen like that. And I don't know what Dan and I did, the stars of karma, whatever, to be, you know, in that position 52 years later. But both of us understood the importance of it and how lucky we were. And like I said, those are things that you can't ever even imagine or anticipate. And when you find yourself there, you just kind of, you pinch yourself and say, you know, the good Lord was smiling down on me when I decided to be a football broadcaster and have this game fall in my lap on my last year with a great friend in Dan Dierdorf. So that's one of those that I chalk up to the heavens. Somehow that one came down from above.
Let's talk about the game coming up this Saturday. What are the players going through this week? I know you've experienced this several years when you were playing. You know, what's going through the minds of these players, and what's their routine going to be like this week?
Well, what I call it is like a laser focus. I mean, you start, hey, let's face it, some of them and many people have been thinking about this game for probably 6 weeks. And now you're into game week, and now you can not worry about Illinois. You cannot worry about Michigan State. You focus on this game. You know what it's going to be like in Columbus. And so you start literally on Monday, but your first practice. You start playing the game in your mind. You start anticipating the noise, the crowd noise, and the negative attitude you're going to get down there. And then you start focusing and concentrating on, you know, the actual X's and O's and what you do during practice and your game plan. And that just goes through practice, but it goes on into that night. when you go to bed, you're thinking about, I mean, and it's a little more intense, it's a little more focused, because you know it's Ohio State, and you know it's a big game, and you know what's at stake. So you're thinking all the time. This is a 24/7 week for a player. You do what you have to do, and you know, you go have Thanksgiving, and you spend time with your parents, but every other waking moment, there's an Ohio State thing in the back of your mind that you're working on that game right before you take the field on Saturday.
Well, Jim, I don't know if you can tell by my voice, pretty young in the play-by-play game a little bit, and just hearing you talk about the Ohio State game and, you know, being off the mic this year, I have to ask, do you miss it, or how much do you miss it?
Oh, I miss it. Yeah, I mean, but I also know that, you know, I know that I had a great run. I had 43 years broadcasting Michigan football, and I miss the games. I don't necessarily miss the week building up, and because I, like every play-by-play guy, if you're doing these games, and I did the Lions games for 31 years too, and so I, from Monday through Friday, I was on go. I was thinking there were moments. I was working the game from Monday through Friday, and getting ready, doing some kind of preparation in my brain, in my mind, in getting ready for travel, whatever it is, and that's a long run. It's almost like I never had a day off in the fall from August 1st until January. I was constantly working at it, and it's a great profession. I love doing it. But and I would love to be, you know, if I could somehow beam myself to a game and just go to the press box and have all that preparation in my brain without actually sitting down at a desk and doing 8 hours worth of statistics and getting my spot chart ready to go, I still probably would do it. But my wife and I are now enjoying kind of the time off we have and doing these other projects like the book, Voices of Michigan Stadium. And that's not as intense. And it does, you know, scratch that creative itch that's in my brain and in my body. And so doing the games was great. It was the best job I ever had in my life. It was the only job I had in my life, really. And I'd never worked a day in my life because I loved it so. But it was time for somebody else, and Doug and John are doing it now. And while I miss it, I'm very comfortable and pleased that I'm doing what I'm doing now. And I would not redo my decision at all. Thinking back on it.
Jim, we are out of time here on Inside the Cave, but Voices of Michigan Stadium, how can folks get a copy of it?
People can get a copy of the audio book by going to jimbrandstatter.com, and there is a link right there, and you can click to it. And down at the bottom right, when you go to amazon.com, there is a link that takes you to a one-click buy, if you wish. But that's how you get the audio book, and you can also buy the paperback if you want. There is a paperback available, and you can follow along on the audio with the paperback if you wish. But you can go to jimbrandstatter.com. There's a link right there. It'll take you right to a page where you can buy the book. I think it's going to be fun. I think Michigan fans are going to love it.
Jim, thank you very much for being with us this morning. All continued success for you, and go Blue.
Pat and Ian, thank you very much, and my best to everybody down in Adrian on the holidays.
All right. Thanks a lot, Jim. Jim Brandstatter. Yeah, Jim Brandstatter, our guest here on Inside the Cave. We'll be back with more after these.